Did this guy really die and come back to life? Is it a trick? Or did something profound just happen in the history of humankind? 2,000 years ago, Jesus was raised from the dead. And that fact has been doubted and questioned for 2,000 years. And the most prominent Christian doubter, of course, from our gospel today is our very own Saint Thomas. Thomas is also the patron saint of India. And so I have a special sort of a place for him in my heart, especially because this guy came to India. Now, so my sermon will be in two parts. My first part, I'll give you a little bit about Thomas, history about him, who he was, what he did. And my second part will be answering three foundational questions about Christianity. See, I believe that we... So yeah, look back at the clock. Sorry. I believe that we are living... It's got to be quick. I have 12 minutes. I believe that we are living in a culture of Thomases. See, we have moved way past blatant atheism to a culture of agnosticism, of questioning and of doubt. That's where our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandkids are going to be. They will question and they'll doubt. And so I believe it's important, and I will give you hopefully tools today to speak about our Christian faith. So let me begin with who Thomas was. Thomas, the history, tradition goes that the disciples all came together after the Pentecost and cast lots to see who was going to go where. And I saw a video that says Thomas got the short end of the straw. He was commissioned to go to the second most populous place in the world, to India. And there are stones and tablets with the inscription of Thomas's arrival in Kerala, a little state in India. And in Chennai, where I was born and raised, there is a mountain called St. Thomas's Mount, on top of which is a church where church is resurrected in honor of St. Thomas. The story goes that St. Thomas came to India and he was creating all of these converts. There's actually a denomination named after Thomas. It's called the Mar Thoma Church, which literally translates to Lord Thomas. Not a title of divinity, but a title of respect. Lord Thomas. And so this huge tradition in India that dates back to 2,000 years because of what Thomas did. And here's how he got killed. The king at that time was so furious because his wife had converted from Hinduism to Christianity. And so he sent his warriors to kill Thomas. And Thomas died on his knees praying as they put spears into his body. Isn't that quite amazing? How far and wide Christianity had spread in the very first century. And it only seems appropriate that this doubting Thomas would go to a city where there were 300 million deities just in Hinduism and spoke about the one true God who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This man who doubted was so convicted because of his encounter with Jesus that not even 300 million gods could convince him otherwise. And in this encounter, Jesus turns his eyes from what he cannot see to what he can. "Well, I won't believe unless I see." And so Jesus encounters him and says, "Well, here it is. Here's what you can see." And thereby turning his doubt into faith. See, I don't believe that doubt is the opposite of faith. The opposite of faith is unbelief. Doubt is that middle point between faith and unbelief. And depending on how we care for the person who doubts, depending on how we answer the questions of those who come to Christianity with doubts and questions, we either move them towards faith or we move them towards disbelief. And this culture that we're living in is a culture of doubt and disbelief. It is a culture of little Thomases. And so in honor of Thomas, I want to raise three questions that tend to shake the very foundations of our Christian belief that people ask. One, did Jesus really die on the cross? Was the tomb really empty? And three, did he really resurrect from the dead? And I hope to journey with those three questions with you all. It's going to be short, it's going to be quick. I will give you scientific, medical, archaeological, theological, and biblical facts to go along with what I'm about to say. And hopefully these will be tools for you to use for your kids, for your grandkids, for your great-grandkids, and for those who ask you, why do you go to church? Who is this guy? Did all of this really happen? So to begin with, Jesus was a historical person who was on this earth. Undeniable facts. But did he really die on the cross? So let's explore that. Pilate didn't want to injure him. However, he needed him dead. See, Pilate had two jobs: collect taxes, maintain the peace in Jerusalem. If he didn't do one of those two jobs, Emperor Tiberius at that time would come, would take his job away from him, put him in prison, and if worse comes to worse, he will kill him. And Jesus was the chief disturber of the peace. He went into the temple and he kicked things down, he broke things apart. Although he didn't want to kill him, the people's peace was being disturbed by this man, so he needed to kill him. This had to happen. Okay, he had to kill him. It's a fact. He sends him to the cross. But how about the Roman soldiers? Were they colluding with the disciples or somebody else to make sure that this guy didn't die? What if they just sort of pretended he was dead and they brought him down from the cross? Here's a fact. Historical fact. Any Roman soldier that let a prisoner escape would be punished the same way the prisoner was punished. That's why the Bible says, you know, when Paul escapes the prison, he was about to kill himself because that was going to be his punishment. See, if the Roman soldiers colluded with someone to let Jesus live, they would have faced crucifixion. That's why even when they knew he was dead on the cross, they took a spear, they put him on his side, and they made sure that he was dead. There's no way he could have survived that. And finally, the Journal for the American Medical Association, medical experts analyzed the crucifixion and concluded, and I will quote, "Modern medical interpretation of the historical evidence indicates that Jesus was dead when taken down from the cross. Any contradicting assumptions appear to be at odds with modern medical knowledge." If anyone wants a copy of this article, I will give it to you. I will email it to you. Jesus died on the cross has been medically, historically proven. Then we have a second question. Well, okay, he died on the cross, but was the tomb really empty? John Robinson, a Cambridge University scholar and also the bishop of the Anglican Church somewhere in England, says that the empty tomb is one of the earliest and best attested facts about Jesus. And the historian Josephus goes on to say, you know, women's witnesses were null and void. Nobody cared for it. See, women weren't even allowed to go into a courtroom to say their witness. They wouldn't count. So why in the world would the apostles write down that Mary saw the risen Lord first? If they were trying to prove to everybody or trying to delude everyone into believing the tomb was empty, they would have never put Mary's name down. They would have put two guys' name down, but not Mary's. This only goes to show that the reason the apostles put Mary's name down was to simply state the facts as they were. They weren't trying to create a story so everyone would believe. They were just telling them what happened and what their experience was. And now we have the archaeological evidence for the tomb being empty. In 41 to 51 AD, that's during the time of Emperor Claudius, we have something called the Nazareth Inscription. It is a stone tablet that archaeologists have found that specifically commanded citizens not to disturb graves and tombs, and those who sought to disturb graves, tombs, rolled away stones, or whatever, will be punished by death. We believe that this decree was likely written and dispersed years after, just not too many years after Jesus' resurrection, because there were all of these stories going around. So many people were talking about this guy that came back from the dead, and that his tomb was empty. So much so that there had to be a law written that if anyone does this, they'd be dead. How amazing is that? And finally, did Jesus really rise from the dead? And we've been asked that question. It's being asked right now. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? For starters, Jesus told his disciples over and over again that, yes, I will die and I will resurrect, I will die and I will resurrect, but they didn't understand. They still didn't understand when Mary told them about it, and still they didn't understand. Jesus had to appear to them three times before they understood and they believed. And Thomas had to literally touch his wounds on his hands and his sides for him to believe. Because they witnessed the resurrection, they went all over the world. They were persecuted and were condemned to death in sometimes the most gruesome and inhumane ways. But they refused to go back on their testimony. So we have to ask ourselves the simple question, and that's all historically provable. And we have to ask the simple question. Why would anyone die for a lie, knowing it's a lie? They first faced persecution and even death. And they refused to go back on their witness because they knew that if they did die, they would have eternal life with God. But if they were to go back on their witness, it was a suicide of their integrity. The resurrection and the encounter with God was so powerful for them that they were willing to even die for it. In our culture of Thomases, we need to move their eyes like Jesus did to Thomas from what they cannot see to what they can see, to biblical, scriptural, historical records, to archaeological finds, medical facts, that all point to an empty cross, to an empty tomb, and a resurrected Lord. And hopefully, like Jesus did. Jesus didn't say, well, now that you see, you have to believe. He just gave Thomas a choice to believe. We present the evidence to our Thomasian agnostic culture, and we say, here it is. Here's medical, historical, archaeological finds that prove everything we're saying. Will you believe? Hopefully, I've given you some tools today to speak with a bit more confidence with a secular society, with our kids, our grandkids, maybe, hey, even our great-grandkids, and those of us who question, why do you even go to church? Who is this guy? Do you really believe he's alive? My goodness, yes. Not only does the Bible say so, not only is it historically, medically, and archaeologically proven, but it is God-unctioned that Jesus is raised from the dead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who encountered Thomas in his doubts and gave him answers, Lord, we pray that you would encounter us in our doubt, that you would equip us, your saints, with the knowledge, with the love, with the relationship with you, to go into this world, to share your gospel, and share knowing that what we hold on to is truth, tried, tested, and proven right. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.